3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Stop. He says, beloved, that means believer. I pray that you will what? Prosper in a couple things. You know, maybe one or two. All things. That you will prosper in all things. So everybody get this. Underline all things in your Bible. And what's the next one? And be in health just as your soul prospers. See, let me share something with you, which is very important. Your soul must prosper. In other words, it must advance. It must not stay the same. It must advance. If your soul advances, so does everything else. When your soul decreases, so does everything else. Does everybody understand that? That's why the devil attacks your soul. Because that's what was lost in the garden. Now, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So, when your soul begins to prosper, because it must prosper in the Word also, must be renewed, correct? Now, you're walking in healing. You're walking in health also, aren't you? Things are true. And let me tell you something. It just doesn't mean that God's going to come down and zap you and you're going to be healed instantly, does it? It means that He's going to transform your mind to eat the things that are right for you too. It's not just about, okay, well, I'm going to prosper and God's just going to zap me. No, what He's saying is come out from among the world. Amen. And don't touch anything unclean, because there is food that is unclean. Amen. There's poison out there that the government said, you can eat this. Let me tell you, if Satan can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with food. Amen? Amen. So just because the government says it's okay to eat don't mean that God says it's okay to eat. Hello? Okay. So we see that our soul must prosper. Now your soul is made of three parts. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. Those are the headlines of your soul. Now, we know that imagination and so forth are a part of your soul, isn't it? Because you know that when you dream, it's in your soul because it's in your mind, isn't it? Hallelujah. Sometimes God has to speak to us in dreams because we ain't listening when we're awake. Praise be to God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Well, the title of this teaching is called The Soul. And let's read verse 1, okay? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me share something with you. He says, cleanse yourself from the spirit and the flesh. Does everybody get it? You know why? Because your soul must be renewed. Now listen. Your flesh is the outer court, isn't it? Your flesh is made of dust and desiring to go back to dust. Your flesh is the seed of the serpent and desires to serve the serpent. Your spirit is the child of God. God is spirit and He speaks to us in spirit. But what must be renewed is our soul, because we must understand what God is saying. Does everybody understand that? Because that's where your mind, your will, and your emotions, your imagination, and so forth are. Does everybody get it? Your spirit is the child of God. That's you. Your soul encases your spirit. And then you have flesh. So you are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now it says, cleanse yourself from flesh and cleanse yourself in the flesh and cleanse yourself in the spirit, because the will of your soul is the door to your spirit. Does everybody understand this? In other words, when the devil attacks you, and whether it's the feelings or thoughts, when you say, okay, when you accept those thoughts or feelings as your own, and you say, okay, your will opens up. That's the door to your spirit. Then your spirit gets contaminated. Is everybody with me? That's why it's difficult when we start going and saying yes to those emotions and thoughts. We fight. We struggle. Then we need to go cleanse ourselves. That's why it's so important about what you see, what you hear. especially what you feel. You can't go by those. It's important. Oh, you be careful what the gates that you put in, the stuff that you put in through these gates, your eye gate, your ear gate. You know, you turn on, you watch TV, you know, when we used to watch TV a lot in the world, when we were in the world, I mean, you know, when they used to have cigarette commercials, when they used to have beer commercials, and I mean, you know, they have all kinds of stuff. I mean, now it's worse. I mean, you know, you turn on the TV, you know, and you got porno on a commercial. I mean, they're showing every parts of men and women and whatever, and the I mean, it's just downright disgusting. And these things are affecting people. I mean, you know, the body of Christ is—it's the highest rate in divorce. That's incredible. You know why? Because they still got a foot in the world.
Amen.
They're still playing both sides. Because if you truly have a personal relationship with the King, you won't go there. You are in that position where you're saying, I've given him my life, and I'm staying there. You're making that choice. Amen?
Amen?
So you see here that it mentions that nothing about the soul here, right? Because your spirit is what gets filthy, and your flesh gets filthy. Your soul must be renewed. Hello? Good. Let's go to Proverbs 4 in verse 20. Hallelujah. You know, when you get saved, your spirit man gets quickened, doesn't he? He gets quickened because the seed gets planted. But your soul must get salvaged. And he gets salvaged through the word and fellowship. Your soul must be renewed. And as long as you're feeding your spirit man, you're not going to be led by what your soul of the old man is saying. You're going to say yes to God and no to the soul. I used to have to go through this all the time. You must say no to the soul, no to the flesh, and yes to God when your spirit man is strong. Other than that, you get led astray. You know when people are offended and run? You know when people get, I mean, you know, everybody's going to get offended. There isn't one soul that's not going to get offended. But what are you going to do with it? That's what Jesus wants to know. What are we going to do with it? Now, if you're being renewed, you know what you're going to do, right? Forgive, forget, and go on. Bless those who persecute you, right? Because we must have the thoughts of God now, not our own thoughts. Vengeance. You know, I'm going to kill that. No, you can't go there no more. And I'm not saying that thought won't come. I get lots of thoughts. I think, man, I'm going to hit that dude with the Holy Ghost bazooka bat. Bam. Then I bless him. In verse 20, are we there? Let's read it together. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Now that's powerful. Give attention to my words and incline your ear to my saying. Go on. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now you know what he's saying? Get it in your spirit so you can see it. Get it in your spirit so that you can see it. Everybody get it? And it's no longer mind, it's in spirit. And the Holy Ghost quickens you and you can actually see. You know, the Bible talks about the transforming of the mind, and you know, we must be transformed so that we can see. You know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. Amen? So you and I can't do anything unless we see it. That's why things don't happen, because we don't see it. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. They are life to those who find them. Wow. Life to those that find them, and health to your flesh. That's enough for me. In verse 24. Or 23, thank you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, your heart is the character of your spirit. What your spirit is what your heart is. It's the character of your spirit, your heart. I'm going to share with you here in a second once we finish this here. Let's go on. 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Well, he knows what's contaminating your spirit, isn't it? In your flesh, things that you may speak. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now I want to share something with you before we go on. One day I was asking the Lord about this because I was trying to get an understanding of our spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. One of the things he showed me was the shuttle. And I saw the shuttle going off. And as he was showing me the shuttle, he said the shuttle itself is your spirit. The big fuel tank is your soul. Because your soul is usually real big. And the two other gas things are your flesh. Booster rockets, okay. Boaster rockets, right? Those are boaster rockets. And he showed me that when the shuttle took off, it's just like me and you headed towards heaven in our walk. What happens is the flesh comes off. The soul. Now I want you to understand something. All of these are fueling the shuttle. Everything is going back into oneness. The flesh goes. Then the soul goes. But where did it all go? Into the shuttle. So now there's a glorified body, and now you are one again in spirit, soul, and body. Does everybody get it? When the Lord showed me this, I said, wow, that brought me so much understanding of where we're at. In other words, your spirit, man, is still being fueled, and it must be fueled. But you want to keep the garbage out, don't you? You know, your flesh, the Bible even speaks about holy flesh. Your flesh can be holy, even though it's the seed of the serpent. Because your spirit is taking dominion over your flesh, so now your flesh is submissive to your spirit, which is submissive to God. Now it becomes holy. Does everybody get it? But if you let your flesh run your life, it's unholy. But if your spirit is running your life, because your spirit, your flesh is submitting to your spirit, and your soul is submitting to your spirit, because your spirit is submitting to God, they become holy, and they become one. Remember we did a teaching on a house divided won't stand. And the first thing that happened was, in the garden, Adam and Eve's house was divided, their own personal house. In fact, what was lost in the garden was the soul. Does everybody get it? That's what was lost. That's why Jesus had to come. Oh, glory to God, we're coming. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 3. In verse 1, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. Let me tell you what, Satan's going to stand right there to oppose you. He does not want you to be renewed. Does everybody get it? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments. And was standing before the angel. Filthy garments represented sin. Represented contamination. Garments represented flesh and soul. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your what? Iniquity from you. And I will clothe you with rich robes. So what was he doing? He removed his iniquity. And I said, let him put a what? Clean turban on his head. Why? Renew the mind. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Glory to God. Now you got to know that there's an angel of the Lord standing by me and you. But I want you to understand that Satan is, one of his demons, is standing by there opposing me and you. He's going to do everything he can from you to be renewed and standing in that renewed state. Amen? Glory to God. Let's go a little further in Mark 8. Now what's the soul made of? Mind. Emotions and will. Three headlines. In verse 34. When he called the people to himself, this is Jesus speaking, with his disciples also, he said to them, now he's talking to the people and his disciples, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever decides to come after me must deny his flesh and his soul, because the cross is spiritual. Whoever denies his flesh and his soul, you must deny your flesh and your soul to come after the Lord. What's he talking about? The old flesh, the old characters of the soul, you must deny. In fact, the Word tells us, blesses the man who trusts in the Lord and curses the man who trusts man. This is where you know whether you're a God pleaser or a man pleaser. Verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. And verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you something. Renewing of your soul brings peace, doesn't it? You know how many people are tormented out there? You know how many wealthy individuals are out there? Look at in the Great Depression, and how many people committed suicide because the stock market crashed? You know why? Because their God was money. They were tormented. And there are people still tormented today. There are many believers tormented because their soul is not renewed. In verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed with when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, and let's read this all together. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what's your soul again? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. Let's go a little further. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. So what is he saying? Okay, you're going to be a holy people. Why? Because you are obedient in your mind, your emotions, and your will. Does everybody get it? Everything is, why? Because it's holy now. And if that's holy, your flesh is holy. But he's, you know, the Word tells us that we're to worship the Lord with all of our strength and all of our mind and all of our heart, isn't it? Our mind represents the soul. Praise be to God. Okay, I shared all that so we could go to this. Let's go to Genesis 2. Now Satan has a trinity called me, myself, and I. But Jesus has the trinity. Amen? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You, and you. And not me. All of you, none of me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Praise be to God. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what?
A living being.
Now he's talking about Adam. Adam was created in God's image and likeness. In fact, the Word says that in his image and likeness is male and female. Now, if God created a female, that means that's the image of God also, isn't it? In fact, we know that the female came from the male, or came from Adam, right? And we also must understand that because God created Adam in his likeness, and in his image, God's image and likeness is male and female. Amen. So truly, Adam was the first son of God. He was known as the Son of God. Amen. And when God created Adam, Adam was perfect. In fact, Adam's spirit, soul, and body was one. They had glorified flesh. They did not have blood. What? No. The Word tells us that there was different types of flesh. There was flesh of the animal, flesh of the fish, certain types of flesh. Adam's body, his flesh, was a glorified body. Amen? In fact, when Eve was brought forth, he said, this is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Amen? Now listen, the animals had blood. I do not believe that Adam and Eve had blood because their spirit, soul, and body were one. So the life of the flesh was in the spirit, not in the blood, until they fell. Does everybody get that? Because when they fell, then the Lord killed an animal. Because in Leviticus 17, I think it is, then it says that the life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. That's when it came into business, came into effect. Because if you see Jesus, wasn't Jesus a glorified body? He doesn't have blood, does he? No. He's flesh and bone, isn't he? He's actually full spirit. His spirit, soul, and body is one. Does everybody get it? Even though he can eat. But when Jesus rose from the dead, I mean, he went through the walls and stuff, didn't he? He appeared everywhere. And he ate, but he didn't bleed because his blood was given up, wasn't it? Hallelujah. And so your blood be given up when you get a glorified body. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, it's quite interesting about this because God sent Adam into the garden to test his creation. He gave him a place of habitation where he could commune. God was testing his own creation. Does everybody get it? Because he had a free will. His first creation failed him. Lucifer, who became Satan, was God's right-hand man. In fact, the Bible tells us that the angels are known as sons of God. So when the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the hosts, they were his sons. And his right-hand son, because Jesus was not his son, Jesus was the Word. He was God. Amen. Jesus didn't become the Son until he came to the earth. Amen. Then he became the Son. So God's sons were the angels, and his top son failed him. Does everybody get it? And he became Satan. He was, his first name was Lucifer. Or his first name, his name was Lucifer. And then he became Satan. Because that was Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, so when God created Adam, he put him in the garden so he fellowship with him. Adam was actually God's, and the garden was the place where God was testing his creation. You know why? Now every one of us is a tested citizen for heaven. Come on, Daddy isn't dumb. If his first son failed him, you think he was going to just allow whatever to continue on? No way. So he created man in his likeness and in his image, which means in his character. He was going to train Adam and Eve up in the garden and train them his ways. He was going to teach them. He spoke to them face to face. No man can stand face to face with God and not live. He'd die. Why? If you've ever been in the glory of God, let me tell you, you look like a fish jumping out of water. Your flesh can't take God's glory. You look like you've gone into convulsions or epileptic seizure. I know it's happened. That's what you see in Brownsville a lot. Glory of God shows up and everybody looks like a fish out of water. Praise be to God. And they're not faking it, and it's not flesh. They can't help it. So God sent Adam into the garden to test his creation and his image. Hallelujah. And we know that he failed. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Now we know that the Word became flesh, right? The only begotten Son in John 1:14, which is known as the Son of God, right? Who is Jesus. Okay, now look at what happens here. Let's read this together in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sounds like he got put in the garden. To be what? Tempted by the devil. Sounds like the first Adam, doesn't it?
Amen.
Wow. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wow. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we see that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. This is the same as the first Adam. The first Adam fell, but the second Adam, Jesus, succeeded bringing out the salvation or restoring of our soul to God's image and likeness, including our will, emotions, or feelings, our mind, and the thoughts back to God. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Genesis 2:18. Oh, my Lord, you've done so much for us. I mean, come on. He's not only the way, truth, and life. He is. And there isn't anything he isn't. Hallelujah. In verse 18, now look at this. In chapter 2, let's read this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Glory to God. Now turn to John 16. So Adam had a helper, didn't he? He had a female, didn't he? Well, actually, he had what? He had a helper, a female, right? But he didn't want him to be alone. But God, remember something. God first created animals for Adam not to be alone. Hello? He first created animals for Adam not to be alone. And he brought the animals to Adam, and Adam named them all. And the Lord said, well, you know, this... Obviously, Adam knows all the animals. I mean, can you imagine he saw a cheetah and he saw all those guys. What was the other one? With the pink elephant. And he named all of them, you know. I mean, come on, he could have done anything he wanted, you know. Come on. So he saw them all. Hey, Hippo, what's happening today? And they talked back to him. There was communion in the Spirit. He named the rabbits, he named them all. He wasn't alone. But then obviously that wasn't good, so the Lord said, listen, I'm going to send you a helper. So what did he do before he sent him a helper? He knocked him out. Right? Put him asleep. And he took the rib. Right? He took the rib, and a woman came from the rib. Right? And when Jesus was on a cross, he was pierced in the side. And we're the woman now. Because out of his side came the blood and water. Right? That's why we're known as the bride. Hallelujah. See, so when Adam said, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, we must be the same thing as Jesus then. Amen. Because when we come to that marriage with him, we were going to be the flesh of his flesh and the bone of his bone and spirit. Woohoo! One day we're going to shed this garbage. Hallelujah. John 16. And verse, oh, praise God. God, this is so lovely. Verse 7. Let's read this together. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, you know, when Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, he doesn't lie. First of all. So what was he doing? He was shaking them, waking them. Listen, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's a profound statement from God. He wanted their attention. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the what? Helper will not come to you. Didn't Jesus have a helper? Didn't Adam have a helper? Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, man. You better be married to that helper, the Holy Ghost. Because if you ain't married to the Holy Ghost, there ain't no need for you to get married to nobody. Hello? You'd be nothing but trouble to them and you. Glory to God. The helper, woohoo, I love the helper. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Amen? Now go down to verse 13. Read this together. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come. Now listen. He's going to tell you things to come. That's why people get in so much trouble. Because they're not listening or seeing what the Spirit is telling them to come. And they go by, well, it's okay. All things work to the good. That's a poor excuse. All things work to the good. You know how many people are leaning on that scripture because they blow it? Yeah, well, I blew it, but all things work to the good. Well, that's good. Yes, all things work to the good to those who love the Lord. And the Bible says if you love Him, you obey Him. And then you won't have to go back on that scripture. Well, all things work to the good. Praise be to God. So we know here that the Holy Spirit is going to tell us things to come, isn't He? He's your helper. You must be married to Him. Let me share something with you. Jesus was sent not only to grant salvation, it was to bring, now the word salvation is a representation of salvage, something that's lost. Amen? He was sent to restore your soul to its rightful position, its rightful owner, your spirit. Because when your spirit is birthed into this child, your soul has to become one. Jesus said, I pray that you become one as I am one with my Father. The Lord wants your spirit, soul, and body to be one. Did you ever pour water down something and it just doesn't line up and it goes all over the place? You know? But when it lines up, it flows, doesn't it? Flows. When I had my encounter with the Lord, I was so filled with the Spirit that I was one with my Father. And I've shared this over and over. Even though I couldn't function really well here for the first 2 weeks, and everybody I ran into, I said, child, even though they were 70 years old. Child. I mean, it didn't matter. I saw everybody as a child of God. Even though if they were lost, they were just lost children of God. Every soul on this planet is a child of God. They just don't know it. That's why the Lord says, I desire no one to be lost. They're all His children. And when I was so one with the Father in the Spirit, that I didn't know the Word of God. I never read the Bible. But my spirit was so filled and so strong by the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit and had fellowship with Him, He was telling me what to do. When my soul said, do this, Holy Spirit said, don't do that, guy. When I began to feel this, He said, you don't need to go there. See, because He is the writer of the Word, isn't He? He's the author of the Word. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Word is already in you. Now you got to begin to cooperate so that you can understand what He's saying. That's why you must renew your mind with the Word so that you can understand what the writer is saying. Amen? Now, if your spirit man has been contaminated, he begins to get weak. He begins to get sick. And he has a hard time cooperating. There's a hard communication between the soul and the spirit then, or the Holy Spirit, until your spirit man is cleansed. Because what does the devil want to do? He wants to implant a corruptible seed in you. How does he do that? By your thought? By him shooting the darts of thought? By him shooting the darts of feeling? See, what he wants to do is open the door to your spirit. Okay. Now, Jesus came to salvage your soul. In fact, the Word tells us that even in hell, you have feelings. There's thirst in hell, and you can see. Amen? Remember when the rich man was in hell, and he cried out, and he asked Abraham, he said, listen, can you let me go back home to tell everybody this place is real. He said, let me have a drop of water on my tongue. He saw the great gulf. He was tormented. He felt the heat. Had emotion. He was crying out. Why? Because the spirit and soul become one when it leaves this world. Does everybody get it? Your spirit and soul become one when you leave this world. And Jesus came to restore the soul while you and I are here so we can live a righteous life and that the kingdom of God can be manifested in me and you and that we could have fellowship with God in spirit. Now, understand this. Jesus was a mediator. Jesus was known as not only the seed of God, not only as a son of God, Jesus was a representation of the soul of God. Amen? And we talked about that. God has a soul. He grieved, right? Jesus came in the mind of God, the thoughts of God. Amen? He came in the emotions and compassions of God, and He came in the will of God. So we see that Jesus was a representation of the soul of God. So he had to pay the price so that your soul and my soul could be salvaged. 1 Timothy, hallelujah, chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read this together. So what I'm sharing is Jesus was the mediator, wasn't he? Here it says it right here in verse 5. For there is what? One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So we see here that Jesus was the mediator between man and God, wasn't he? He was the soul of God. Your soul is the mediator between your spirit and your flesh, or the natural realm. Does everybody get it? Your soul. That's why it must be renewed. Go to Hebrews 8. So Jesus paid the price on the cross for you and I to receive the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the compassion and emotions of Christ. In verse 6, let's read this together. But now he, who is Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So not only was a mediator of a new covenant or a better covenant, but he was a mediator between God and man. And he was a representation of the soul of God that he took on your soul and my soul on the cross. He took on all of our sins. He made the exchange. Because where was the soul? I mean, where was the sin actually happening? Didn't Jesus say you sin in the mind?
Amen.
People were led by lust of the flesh, lust of desires. Amen. Soulish realm. That's why we have to be careful about soulish ministry and ministry of the Spirit. Because the soulless ministry always come up to you, oh, it's all right. It's okay. God will take care of it all. You just keep going on sinning. Hello? I mean, Jesus came and said, repent!
Amen.
Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent that you could get refreshed in the presence of God. That's why some people don't get refreshed in God's presence, because they're not truly repentant yet. So Jesus was the mediator between God and man. Or spirit and flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus was the soul of God. He came to replace thoughts, feelings, wills, imaginations, and desires. He has actually crucified our flesh, right? Because the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. Their flesh is crucified. And in so doing so, he has made the exchange for our soul on the cross, hasn't he? Everything has been exchanged on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Romans 7. In Romans 7. And we'll go to verse 19. Now we'll start at 18. Let's read this together. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Well, what's some of your members? Your thoughts, your emotions. Amen? These are some of your members, aren't they? Now, we also know that we have members of eyes, ears, right? Those are your members also. But your soul is a representation of some of your members. You have emotions. You have feelings. Right? You have desires. And what you and I need to do is acknowledge and recognize those things that are not of the Lord and bring them into captivity. You know, so many people fall back into fornication or lust or whatever. And one of the hardest things that people have a hard time with, especially believers, is getting rid of, and I don't want to put this bluntly, but I guess I must, old ungodly soul ties. Men or women that they've fornicated with are known as soul ties because it's affected their emotions, hasn't it? In fact, you must understand something, that Satan thrives off of your emotions. That's how he gets fed. Amen? He thrives, that's how those spirits get fed, is off of your emotions. So when he throws the seed and says, man, you just don't feel good today. Man, I just don't feel good today. That might be a fact, but the truth is by his stripes you're healed. Amen? I mean, there are many times that I'm not feeling so well, but so be it. How many times, man, you know, I just don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to Bible study. I just don't. Well, who told you that, first of all? Amen. So he's planted that. And when you accept that thought, you know what happens? You begin to feel it, don't you? And then what happens is you choose to do it. And what happens is that Satan just now snuck a hook in. Okay, that's one. And next thing you know, you're going, well, you know, I don't feel like doing this. Because he's still pulling this. See, when that happens, there must be quick repentance and washing of the Spirit. Lord, forgive me. I repent for being disobedient. I'm sorry, Lord. Wash my spirit, soul, and body with the blood of Jesus. I curse every corruptible seed and command it to wither and die, that only your righteous seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory. See, because those are seeds of corruption that have been planted in us. And where have they been planted? In your soul. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. So, okay, where are we now? Oh. Glory to God. So we see here that when we get involved in these emotional realm, in these soul ties, that's why it's so important to break these ungodly soul ties. Now, did you ever have an animal that you really grieved over when it died? You know, you became a soul tie. That doesn't mean you have to have sex, they have a soul tie. In fact, there were a lot of partners that we used to get high with and do crimes with, and people that were best friends. And it was hard to break away from them. You know, one of the first things that happens is when you want to get clean from drugs or alcohol or whatever, is it's hard to break away from your friends, even though they're your enemies. Amen? It's a difficult thing. You know, the devil's telling you, man, don't you remember this? I mean, they're your friends and this and that and whatever. And it's a hard thing to break away. Why? Because you're that soul tie that's been involved in your life. And we have a tendency to want to run back to these soul ties for comfort. But it's a lie. It's a total lie. And the devil will use every excuse he can. Well, man, you need to go over there and tell him about the Word. Hello. Come on, it's time for you to go back where you came from and do it. Yeah, do it, all right. Glory to God. I don't think I need to go any further with that. Compulsive desires, that's what they are. Sin takes what is good and perverts it. Ooh, does everybody get that? Sin takes what is good and perverts it. Guess what Satan did, didn't he? He took everything that was good and perverted it. Right? Hallelujah. Let's go to, glory to God. James 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. James chapter 1. My Redeemer. Praise God. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 2. Let's read this together. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect will work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, the devil wants to put us in position to be a double-minded man. Why? He's attacking the mind, isn't he? He's attacking the mind. Let's go to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, how did those desires get there? Amen. By those darts. Where is he hitting you? So, in the mind, the feelings, to open the door to your will, to contaminate your spirit. Does everybody get that? Now look at verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Why? Because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God be the glory. You know, there are so many people, now don't get me wrong, they get caught up in the soulish realm and they get granola. And granola is called nutty and fruity. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a fruitful Christian, but when you get granola, you become nutty. Because they rely on what they feel all the time. And they go around telling everybody how they feel. And the next thing you know, they're eating dirt. Or they brought shame to the name of the Lord. Why? Because they've gone by what they feel all the time. Does everybody get it? And, you know, they'll be out telling everybody about Jesus and telling about... we've seen so many people get involved with familiar spirits. Let me share something with you. If you're one that's going by what you feel all the time, you're an open door to a familiar spirit because he loves to imitate the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. The feelings we're looking for is peace, aren't we? Joy. And righteousness in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. But did you ever run into somebody and say, you know what, I they're sucked up in the soulish realm. They have a poor disposition, a poor attitude, because they're caught up in the soulish realm. Why? Because they're listening to the voice of the stranger. They're taking what he is saying as their own thoughts, and they're receiving them. Oh, man, I just don't feel it. How many times does the devil tell you you're tired? And when you try and lay down, you can't go to sleep. And you just missed something that you were supposed to be at. And then you're laid down. In fact, when you missed it, you realize that you, wow, I woke up. Right? Well, because it was the devil that told you that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't be tired. Amen? But you have to have the discernment of what spirit is motivating your spirit. Because God never interrupts himself. Daddy don't interrupt himself. He does things in divine order. He doesn't send you out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that somebody can't come across your path. But he's not going to send you alone to a crack house.
Amen. Amen.
And if you've been involved in gambling, he's not going to send you to Las Vegas to try and rescue everybody.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Or whatever it is. You know. And there was this testimony of this woman that said that she wanted to give her children a teaching on what goes on in the X-rated places. And she was a believer. She went in and went into this place and started seeing some of the stuff that was going on and started taking notes and left. Watched some of the flick, I guess. She came to a service one time and the pastor laid hands on her and the demon started manifesting and said, I have a right to be here. So what do you mean I have a right to be here? And the devil said, because she went on his territory and he accessed her through the eye gate, through the ear gate. Anyways, she repented and the devil had to go. Look at music. Wasn't Lucifer the praise and worship leader of heaven?
Amen.
Look at how music, come on, affects all of us. All of us. All of us. You know, there's a lot of Christian music that ain't Christian music. You know, how many times you want to hear the message and not get in God's presence? It's in the presence which changes you, not the message. The message entices you to get in the presence. But since you've got the message already, forget it. Get in. That's why it's called alternative. You have a choice. Stay in the outer courts or get in the Holy of Holies. And you, the devil's going to use those emotions. Did you ever, you know, you go into a place and, you know, you're born again, filled with the Spirit, and you hear old music. But, you know, you hear the music playing, whatever it may be. It's like, whoa. Man, it brings back bad memories from whoa when I was whoa and doing the whoa, whoa. No! 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 You gotta start praising and worshiping God.
Hallelujah.
You gotta start praying in the Spirit. You gotta start shaking that off.
Amen.
Music is the number one killer. So it's difficult, isn't it? Because you're in a world wherever you go and you work, you're hearing garbage. That's why you got to constantly shake the dust off every day and curse those corruptible seeds, because you're picking up garbage. Or you'll end up going back. Amen?
Amen.
You know, some of those music will start bringing back those old Camel cigarette commercials and all that stuff, you know. Hallelujah. And those, especially those romantic evenings that weren't good. They start enticing and changing things. Hallelujah. Well, we know that Satan's a father of lies, isn't he? And he's trying to get your soul. That's why he's attacking you. And your soul, remember, he's the one that took the soul of Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen? The mind, the will, and the emotions. You must be careful. You have to protect these gates. Every day you must ask the Lord to put a guard over your gates. David cried out, Lord, put a guard over my tongue. That's a gate. Or put a guard over my tongue, put a guard over my eyes, my ears, my heart. Every day you must surrender your spirit, soul, and body, and your will, your emotions, your imagination, your conscience, subconscious, attitude. All of these are part of your soul. You've got to surrender them to God every day. And ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection around them or a guard over them. Amen? You know, we had a gentleman come in here one time that was filled with familiar spirits. He rejected the Holy Spirit because he preferred the familiar spirit. We cast, I don't know how many devils out of this man. And when those devils left him that night, he was weeping and crying. He was naked. I said, hallelujah, you're naked. Those devils left you, brother. He said, but the Holy Spirit left me. I said, you can't cast out the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm naked. Because he was so used to the feelings. He was a granola. I mean, he was walking around prophesying, doing this. I mean, he had the form of godliness, let me tell you. Woo-hoo! He knew stuff too. But he wasn't right. Because you know why? He couldn't rest. The man couldn't rest. He'd just sit there and prophesy, pray in tongues, and do all kinds of stuff. But he was being deceived by a familiar spirit. He couldn't take it. And he ended up leaving. The Lord showed me it was a teddy bear to this man. When we cast that teddy bear, and when we started praying for him, man, his countenance changed. This dude wanted to, he was, whew, praise God. But he left because he would desired the familiar spirits. And I want to show you something quickly here. Glory to God. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 14, I think it is. Or 13, I'm sorry. Chapter 13. Is everybody there? In verse 1, and though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, in other words, language of understanding and angels' language, he's talking about tongues, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Here's what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, does it mention anything about a feeling?
No.
Love is a choice. Do you understand that? Love is a choice. In other words, the feelings come after, don't they?
Amen.
And so you got to understand, and you have to have the discernment of what the feelings... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't have emotions or feelings. That's not what I'm saying. But you want the ones that are from God and not from the devil. There's a difference between love and lust. There's a great difference. And we have to discern these feelings. We have to discern these emotions that are coming into me and you every day and everything that you do. You have to always look at it. It's, what is the motive behind this? Is this feeling leading to something ungodly? Or is it leading to something godly? In other words, when you finally made a choice to repent, that choice, you didn't feel so good, did you? I mean, nothing happened until after you repented. Amen? But you finally made that choice. When you finally made the choice to trust God and receive the Holy Ghost, that it was for you too, and for everybody, when you received the Holy Ghost, the feeling came.
Amen.
Woo-hoo! Amen. You realized that you were a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
You were no longer just trusting in the Word or what others were saying. You knew, because the Word was now in you, in manifestation. Amen? You know, pleasing man is a representation of feeling. How many times did you... Now, don't get me wrong. There's a place for everything, isn't there? Because you don't want to be a stumbling block. But there are times when the Lord said, told you to do something, but you were concerned about the person's feelings. Because the devil snagged us. But Lord, what if? Amen? Come on, we suck people in their soulish realm when we're out using. Oh, man, but I haven't eaten in days. I promise you, I'll give you back that money tomorrow. Man, we would lie and suck their soul right out of them. They give us the money, we go, hey. Man, we know just how to get into that soul. When we were casting a devil out of somebody one night, and the first devil that came out was bragging about how he killed this woman's generation in 30 generations and killed the mother. It was a spirit of murder. And after he left, and another spirit came up and said, oh, hi, you'll help me, won't you? Where will I go? I mean, I must have compassion. Wait a minute now. You know? But yeah, the devil will do that to you. He tries to prevent you not to get into prayer. Oh, come on. You know the greatest lie? Oh, God knows your heart. You're darn right he does. And he's trying to show it to you. But that is the greatest excuse from the devil. Come on, I don't need to do this. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. But you bit the bait. Oh, here's the other one. Well, if they can do it, why can't I? Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. When you begin to use excuses, that means your heart's beginning to harden. When you begin to reason, you're cutting off faith. You get it. It's exactly what the serpent did to Eve. He reasoned with her, didn't he? Cut off faith. Cut off relationship. Just shut the door to God's faith. God's face. Oh, really, serpent? Is that what it's about? Shut the door to God. I mean, you know that the Lord spoke to them more than once, because the first time we heard that Adam said, yeah, we're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then when Eve said it, she said, yeah, not only that, we're not even to touch it. So God warned them more than once because they couldn't lie. Amen. They didn't know what lying was. So love is not a feeling, it's a choice. And you must make the choice every single day. You know, yeah, sometimes you're not going to feel well. Sometimes you're sick. You know what? The more you yield to it, the longer you get sick. That's why you got to keep standing on faith. No, I'm not going to receive that. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to take medication. It means you keep standing until you're healed. Amen? Then you're not trusting and relying on man, but you're trusting and relying on the Lord. Amen? God sometimes is trying to position us. And so many times, you know how many times people are involved in a group of people in fellowship, and the Lord is trying to promote an individual or move that individual to do something. But because they get so bound in the soulish realm, they become so soul-tied that they miss God. They choose to go to an event with individuals instead of doing something that God wanted them to do. Many times. You know, that's what the devil wants to do. If he can get you out of position, you'll miss God or you'll bite the bait. You know, so many people go back or leave because of involvement or, you know, involved in marriages. And don't get me wrong. We want to see marriages reconciled. But it must be God's timing. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. We want God to build the house, not us. We cannot get sucked up in the soulish realm, in the soulish ministry. We must take dominion over our soul so that we discern what is the feelings and the emotions of the Lord, the compassion of God. You know, I've shared this story over and over, and I'm going to share it again. One day, Mom and I were going to a meeting, and the Lord told me to stop over and buy a newspaper. I don't go out and buy newspapers. So I bought the newspaper, I threw it in the car. And on the way home from the meeting, we saw this man running out into these cars and going back, in and out. You know, he'd run out to the car and he'd come back. And the Lord quickened me, he said, get the want ads out of the newspaper. I'm thinking, get the want ads out of the newspaper. He said, yes, that's why I had you buy the newspaper. So we come up close to this guy, he comes running to the door, and the Lord says to me, give him the want ads. So I rolled down the window, and he says, hey, man, I said, here, God bless you. Oh, man, he was upset with me. He was upset. Yeah, God bless you, this and that, whatever, you know. And Mom looked at me and said, man, what? She was like, whoa. I thought, well, you know, I don't know. What did I do? You know? And she said, didn't you see the sign? I said, no. Man's dying of stomach cancer. I said, he's a liar. But what was he doing? Sucking people into the soulish realm and getting money from them, wasn't he? But in the spirit, you'll know things to come, won't you? Because the Holy Spirit let me know. I said, man, I didn't know why I bought a newspaper. It was for that guy. And we just drove on. Mom was way down in the seat, man. She says, yeah. Praise God. But see, we can get sucked into the soulless realm, can't we? How many times somebody approaches you for something and you just know, you know, that you're not supposed to do that. But the soulless realm overtakes you. You know why? Not spending enough time with your daddy. Not enough relationship in the spirit. Not strengthening your spirit, man. Let me share something with you. We're going to go through lots of teachings. You're going to hear lots of tapes. You're going to hear lots of preachings. You're going to hear of lots of conferences and lots of meetings. They're helpful. But victory is in prayer. The bottom line is where you are in your relationship with the Lord. That's it. Because everything else will be temporary. All of the meetings and everything else is to get these teachings right now is to get you back in fellowship with the Spirit of God. That's what it all boils down to. Jesus was on this earth and he was introducing everyone to the Holy Spirit so they can have a relationship with their Father. That's what's so important about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So that the mind is shut off when you pray in the Spirit. It may drift and you bring it back in. But now you don't struggle in what you're to pray because you're not in the natural. You're getting in the Spirit. Not that God doesn't hear the prayers of in the natural, but you're getting in the Spirit quicker, aren't you? There's not that struggle. Although there's that fight to get to it, isn't there? Because the devil don't want you to. Then he starts messing with your mind. But the bottom line is if you're not close and in fellowship with the Lord, if you're not taking that time with God, all of these will be stolen. The devil will steal it. Not in ritual. Not in religion. Yes, you have your certain standards of getting God. You have your rituals every day, but then there must be fellowship. There must be fellowship. It's important. Each and every one of us, as a child of the Most High God, must have fellowship as a father and a child. And a constant. Why? So that your spirit can stay strong. And when that stuff comes from the devil, you're going to say, no way. I know it. Why? You know why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is going to quicken you before it even hits. Yeah. He's going to quicken you. Amen. So let's get to that place. And let's renew the mind with the Word. Let's renew the soul with the Word. Let it have communion with the Spirit so that it become one. Amen. And I got a lot of notes here that we haven't even touched on this. But I think it's sufficient. It's a good start. To God be the glory. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted. And we ask, Lord, that that seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you. And we promise to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name.